In the realm of ancient history and spiritual revelation, few tales have captivated the human imagination as profoundly as the story of Noah's Ark and the Great Flood. It's a story of divine judgment, the eradication of evil, and the salvation of a righteous remnant. But buried within the pages of the Bible is a mystery that has puzzled scholars, theologians, and believers for millennia: the existence of giants. These mighty beings, known as the Nephilim, are said to have roamed the earth before the flood. But here's the shocking part. Some biblical texts suggest that they survived the flood. How could that be? Did Moses reveal something we've overlooked? The answers lie deep within the scriptures, and they challenge everything we thought we knew about the flood, God's justice, and the nature of evil. Before we delve into the mystery of the giants, it's crucial to understand the context of their existence. The Bible tells us that the pre-flood world was a place of unimaginable corruption and wickedness. Genesis 6 verse 5 paints a grim picture. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. This was a world where violence, immorality, and idolatry reigned supreme, and it grieved God deeply. The earth, as the scriptures say, was filled with violence, Genesis 6 verse 11. In the midst of this darkness, a particular group of beings stands out, the Nephilim. The Bible introduces them in Genesis 6 verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. These giants were the offspring of the sons of God and human women, a union that produced beings of immense strength and size. But who were these sons of God? Scholars have debated this question for centuries, with some suggesting they were fallen angels, while others believe they were descendants of Seth, Adam's righteous son. Regardless of their origins, the Nephilim were a terrifying presence in the ancient world, and their actions contributed to the widespread wickedness that led to God's decision to send the flood. The story of the flood is well known. God, in his righteousness, decided to cleanse the earth of its corruption and start anew. He instructed Noah, a righteous man, to build an ark and gather his family, along with pairs of every kind of animal, to be spared from the coming deluge. The floodwaters came, and everything outside the ark perished. Genesis 7 verse 23 states, "Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark." But here's where the mystery deepens. If the flood was meant to destroy all life except for those on the ark, how do we explain the references to giants after the flood? Numbers 13:33, for example, mentions the descendants of the Nephilim. "We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." This verse describes the Israelites encountering giants in the land of Canaan, long after the flood. How could this be possible? Did some of the giants survive the flood? Or is there another explanation? Moses, the great leader and prophet of Israel, played a crucial role in preserving and passing down the history of the flood and the giants. According to Jewish tradition, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, known as the Torah. This includes Genesis, which contains the story of the Nephilim and the flood. As the one who recorded these events, Moses would have been intimately familiar with the details and the mysteries surrounding them. One of the most intriguing aspects of the story is the phrase in Genesis 6 verse 4, "and also afterward." This suggests that the Nephilim were not only present before the flood, but somehow continued to exist afterward. Some scholars believe this could indicate that the giants were not entirely wiped out by the flood, but perhaps some of their descendants survived or re-emerged in the post-flood world. Others propose that the phrase might refer to a second incursion of fallen angels who once again produced giants after the flood. Moses himself would later lead the Israelites to the borders of the Promised Land, where they encountered giants once again. In Deuteronomy 2, verses 10 to 11, he writes, "The Emim had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. They were also regarded as giants, like the Anakim, but the Moabites call them Emim. This account provides further evidence that giants existed after the flood, posing a significant challenge to the Israelites. The existence of giants after the flood can be seen as more than just a physical reality. It represents a continuation of the spiritual battle between good and evil. Throughout the Bible, giants are often symbolic of the forces that oppose God's people and his purposes. They are embodiments of evil, corruption, and rebellion against God's order. The Israelites' encounters with giants in the Promised Land are not just battles for territory, but spiritual confrontations against the powers of darkness. One of the most famous giant stories in the Bible is the battle between David and Goliath. Goliath, a giant from the Philistine army, taunted the Israelites and defied the living God. David, a young shepherd boy armed only with a sling and his faith in God, defeated Goliath and demonstrated that no force of evil, no matter how intimidating, can stand against the power of God. This story, found in 1 Samuel 17, is a powerful reminder that with God on our side, we can overcome even the most formidable giants in our lives. The presence of giants after the flood also highlights the theme of God's sovereignty and his commitment to preserving the righteous. Despite the continued existence of evil in the world, God remained faithful to his covenant with Noah and his descendants. He continued to protect and guide his people, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable challenges. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul echoes this theme in his letter to the Romans. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Even when giants appear in our lives, whether literal or metaphorical, we can trust that God is in control and that he will use every situation for our ultimate good and his glory. The story of the giants, both before and after the flood, carries profound lessons for us today. Just as the ancient Israelites faced giants in their journey to the Promised Land, we too face giants in our spiritual journey. These giants may take the form of fear, doubt, temptation, or trials, but the message of the Bible is clear. With God, we can overcome them. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Like the giants of old, these forces seek to hinder our progress and keep us from experiencing the fullness of God's promises. But God has equipped us with spiritual armor to stand firm in the battle. Ephesians 6:13-17. The story of the giants who survived the flood is a testament to the enduring power of God's word. It challenges us to dig deeper into the scriptures, to seek understanding, and to trust in God's sovereign plan, even when we encounter mysteries that defy easy explanation. As we face the giants in our own lives, let us remember that we are not alone. God is with us, just as he was with Noah, Moses, David, and all the heroes of faith. And just as they triumphed by faith, so too can we overcome every giant, every obstacle, and every challenge that stands in our way. In the end, the story of the giants is not just about ancient history. It's about our ongoing journey of faith. It's a reminder that the battle between good and evil continues, but so does God's faithfulness. As we trust in him, we can be confident that we will emerge victorious, just as those who have gone before us. The giants may be mighty, but our God is mightier. And in him, we find our strength, our hope, and our ultimate victory. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens, and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family and children, be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He letteth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He letteth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life to Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comments section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comments section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.